Good evening. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And that was William Vitale singing Open My Eyes to the World. I love that song every time I hear it. Tonight, we're going to be talking about a controversial subject that should never be controversial. How do you like that? And I'm excited because I have a lovely lady on the air with me. And she is the producer and host of The Week Starts Here on Sundays at 7:30 Pacific Standard Time, Veronica Fassant. Veronica is a social scientist and is someone who has studied metaphysics for more than four decades, knows her subject. So let's bring her in. Good evening, Veronica. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, I wanted to do this show. As you know, I was blogging a couple of weeks ago. I blog every Monday on Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com and try to bring up some public messages that hopefully will be able to help ease and make better. And that's the focus of my work. So why don't we start at what we're going to be talking about, which is spiritual evolution. What is your opinion is the cause of all the violent turmoil that we're experiencing in this country? It's really been terrific, and there's been a lot against children. So what can we say about that?
Well, you know, Elizabeth, my take on it, first of all, it's really social evolution, and that's not to say it isn't spiritual. But what I believe is as we move into the fifth dimension, as you and I have discussed on numerous occasions, what is happening is that you can think of it in terms of cognitive dissonance, the barking. My favorite emoji for that would be a barking dog with a wagging tail. Which end do you believe? I think people have, especially in this country, have been so orientated around physicality. They believe that the physical world is what's happening. And that we are human beings with a spirit instead of spirits with bodies, which is what I believe. So go ahead.
I think that is a big problem in the country. I think I call them third dimensional human beings because although we have had access to the fourth dimension for quite some time since the 1960s, it doesn't seem like it has really done that much good for us.
Well, I believe the momentum has reached a fever pitch now. And social evolution to me is where we're clearing our heads of this notion that we aren't living, that we are not living in a spiritual universe. It's all material. So in other words, just think of us being at the top of a slide, you know, and in an amusement park, for instance, and we're going down. So that's what happened. And the down, where we're going to end up, is the full realization about spirituality is what's happening, that we are creative. But in the meantime, it's frustrating because it's we're on a point where people are having some internal issues with their own reality and projecting all this negative stuff out into the world, everything that they can't address.
And this is how we have the fights. This is how we have the road rage. And this is how we have husband against wife and child against parents. It's all because of projection. And people that gossip and tear up other people. It's really not good. And why haven't we learned by now that we are all supposed to be cooperative, learning from each other and helping each other. And the more that we do that, the more peace we're going to have, but the more wonderful enjoyment and beautiful new possibilities of sharing, embracing, and using our potential to unlimited realities. That can happen, but we're not giving anybody a chance. Everybody is judged and hit down. And how do you expect things to change if this continues?
Well, I believe that it's the externalization of an internal problem. When people are not at ease, if as I said, they are experiencing cognitive dissonance, which means that what you believe and what you feel emotionally speaking is not lining up, then that's what the trouble is. Mm-hmm. So everybody who's in the midst of all the turmoil and violence is going through stuff. But in terms of social evolution, Elizabeth, I really believe we have to go through this in order to get where we're going. And so
I agree. I call it destruction before reconstruction.
Yeah, I used to call it entropy.
It's really been brought up to the surface. Even if you go back to the Civil War, when we had North against South, it was certainly more than the issue of slavery.
Yeah.
It was North against South. It was a way of living. And there certainly wasn't any kind of outcry the way we're having outcry here, like in Chicago or Detroit or wherever we have these horrible, violent issues. It wasn't done that way back then.
Well, I'm inclined to believe that we live in a country that has a lot to do with violence. Even our national anthem, and I won't go deep into the controversial part, but the part that we sing on a regular basis, when I see that happening at the beginning of sports, events, people just go crazy when it gets to the song, the bombs bursting in air, land of the free, there's all this cheering and everything. And so we have some big-time adjustment to do, in my opinion, as a country, in terms of how we see ourselves and how we promote ourselves. Even the idea that we're always talking about how this is the greatest country on earth.
It is.
Which people would think, in terms of nationalism, that's where that goes. Well, just think about what you're saying, that everybody else is inferior. All the other countries are. And I feel like it's a mindset, really. Really, I mean, we feel sorry for people who don't have the level of material existence that we have, as if that's what they need to make them happy. But materialism isn't making anybody happy in this country. If that's what you believe in and that's your point of reference is things, then, I mean, you're not going to be happy.
No, I wasn't believing in that. I'm believing in the freedom that we have compared to some other countries. But I will tell you who sets a good example, and that's Switzerland. I've been to Switzerland, and I think that they certainly have a beautiful country, too. But
I want to say something about your comment that you just made about the level of freedom in this country has gone. And here's some controversy for you, Elizabeth. That has occurred, in my opinion, at the expense of other people, places, and things. You know, that's what war is all about, right? We're securing our freedom. This is what we're all
told. Yeah, I wasn't
referring
to that, Veronica, but I appreciate that you say that. I think one of the one good thing that has started is what those football players were doing during the national anthem. Were just holding up their fist and not standing up. That's certainly a wonderful social sign of, hey, we need help. We all have to work together here. Don't you agree?
It's controversial, and definitely it keeps it restarts the conversation, because we got to a period after President Obama was elected in which people were going around talking about how we live in a colorblind nation now, and that definitely is not true. It's not true. But I'm always seeking, Elizabeth, to connect the spiritual with the secular. There needs to be a bridge. Otherwise, you go to church on Sunday, and then if that's what you do or whatever your spiritual practice is, and during the week, what are you doing except, engaging in this idea of the materialistic world that we quote-unquote live in being your reality, and that's
it's you go to church on Monday and you go to church on Sunday and then you go and sin on Monday. That's what we used to say.
Yeah. Some people refer to it as sinning, but I am inclined to think of it as just people being out of touch with their spiritual reality, and that's what the fight is about right now, in my opinion. That's why the turmoil is that we're shifting gears. and it's not smooth.
And it may take a while, but I think that we've got to start. Why are people so prejudiced? It's so hard for me to understand sometimes.
I believe, you know, I told you I'm a revolutionary. I think the federal government encourages people to be at odds with each other. And so we have these things called ageism, racism, sexism, and there are probably some more, this species ism even, that I don't know about, some new isms. But essentially, in my mind, those are capitalistic tools. So in other words, like if you can eliminate people based upon their age, their gender, their orientation, their sex, you know, that you can really clear a path for yourself. So that's, you know, the middle class is the largest group in this triangle that we call capitalism, and they are taught, oriented around the idea that you're working really hard, you know, you're the salt of the earth, you're doing this wonderful stuff, but look at these people who aren't pulling their end of things, and how do you feel about that? So that's how people are being programmed. And some folks take that as a message that's worth embracing. And so to me, that's what prejudice is, really.
Well, you know, back in the day, when I was younger, we had something called hospitals and insane asylums and places where people that were truly, truly disturbed were able to go and hopefully get some help. I mean, they get about as much help, I suppose, as somebody in a nursing home. But we did have those places, and they're gone, and now we have homeless. There doesn't seem to be any reaching out for illness, especially mental illness.
Well, so you believe that the homeless people are mentally ill?
No, I don't. I believe we don't have enough help for people that have had loss, that have sickness in any way, shape, or form. We don't have a social solution for this.
Why do you think that is, Elizabeth?
Well, that's what I was asking you.
I believe, as I said, you know, I really think that we can be heavily manipulated by the media. I mean, if you can sit down and watch TV for an hour and check out the commercials that happen during that hour, what the message is. And it's always a fear-based message. You need to do this or that's going to happen. So I think if people are living in fear, then they're not going to be able to make progress, and they're going to be willing to accept a certain amount of the decisions that are made by the powers that be.
Social that control.
That end up isolating people who really need help, you know, and not providing the help. That's what I believe.
But we stopped doing it, Veronica. We stopped doing it in the 80s. We stopped helping as much as we were helping, and I don't know why that did happen. I know it has to do with finances and closing down hospitals and institutions. It was all done. Is it because we're supposed to be too good and too nice to have somebody in a hospital or an institution?
I don't know. I mean, there's definitely a lot of politics associated with that. And, of course, the homeless issue has gotten worse. People have felt squeezed financially. And folks who were previously okay and living a nice middle-class life find themselves in situations that having to make decisions that sometimes lead them to being homeless. As a matter of fact, I was commenting on the fact that Costco is a place, you know, where you have to be a member and go there and shop. Years ago, you couldn't go shop there with food stamps. And now things have gotten so bad, it's reached the middle class, the economic upheaval, to the point where now Costco accepts food stamps. Isn't that amazing? I mean,
yeah.
I think if people pay attention to what's going on, if they look behind the scenes, then they'll get a really great snapshot of what is really going on.
And I know there are some good organizations that are really trying to penetrate that, Veronica. But, and you know, we used to have a song in the 60s called Where Have All the Flowers Gone?
Yeah.
My question is, where has all the money gone? Everything
the money
is
has,
expensive.
The money
where has
is,
all the money
is
gone?
Where it's always been. Okay, the powers that be that are controlling it. But what I want to shift gears on it and discuss a little bit is back to this idea of creating a bridge between the spiritual and the secular. In terms of moving towards the fifth dimension where we won't need bodies or things, period. Have you noticed we're on a steady trek towards that? People more and more are engaging with the invisible, you know,
yeah,
with all the technology.
I just had a fabulous workshop this weekend. Let me just tell you about it. And
okay.
I was showing people how you can get to the fifth dimension through meditation. And this girl that had come had had two bruises on her knees and a terrible backache. And we meditated deeply this weekend. And when she came back the second day, all of that was gone.
Yes.
So that's
right.
A wonderful example of the energy that we're going to start working in, that we are working in now. But
mm-hmm.
I also find that when you're with somebody with a low vibration, that they get angry, that they yell, that they scream, that they tell you to get out of the room because they don't want that energy.
Well, I do believe that people have to adjust to this now.
Yes.
And it's hard. I mean,
in the middle of, that's what I was saying. We're in the middle of this awareness.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about it in terms of the screens, in terms of the cell phones and things like that. Cell phones are getting faster. People are using this technology every single day. And every time I turn around, there's some sort of enhancement to it, more energy going into, for instance, the creation of robotic help, things like that. People aren't questioning the fact that they are heavily engaged in using forces that are invisible. So I believe we're just a few steps away for people having the awareness that everything you see is really spiritually based.
Well, you know, I spoke on this last week, and what it is that we are technologically numb. There is so much technology. There's going to be more coming. Technology is growing faster than our minds can accept. And that's why some of the people can't see what's happening there. They're numb. And a lot of people just wait for the next, what are we doing next? You know, they wait for it, but it's taking them away from relying on themselves in many, many ways, don't you think?
Well, I think they're using it and they don't know, they're not taking the time to mentally process what's going on. You know,
correct.
Like I'm talking to you now and you're in Pennsylvania, I'm in California, and I'm talking to you on a cell phone that wasn't even, you know, 20 years ago there were cell phones, but not for like average people.
No,
now
not.
almost everybody has a cell phone. And as I was telling you earlier when we were discussing the setup for this program, I, like many other individuals now, have given up landlines. We don't have those anymore.
That's right.
So,
Verizon is going out of business.
and now cell phones are doing more things, computers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just heard about how people now have the option, if they choose, I don't know how much it will cost, to be implanted with a little thing about the size of a grain of rice that's going to have all their information on it. So basically turning them kind of into robots.
No,
it's
that can't happen. That can't happen. There was a great lady. Her name was Hilda Charlton, and she used to lecture at St. John the Divine, and she
mm-hmm.
predicted this, and she talked about the chip, as
it
did
happened.
My grandmother back when I was a little girl.
Yeah,
and
sure.
If you take the chip, it will completely destroy your spiritual connections and your spirituality. Because as you meditate and go into high states, the chip will stop you. Well, it will give you a body shock, and it won't allow you to go into high states. So it's very dangerous to take that chip.
Well, that's definitely an interesting perspective on it. I hadn't really thought about it that to that extent.
Well, we've been warned about it. I've been warned about it my whole life, that it was coming, and the minute that it started coming, we'd really know that we were in deep, deep tribulation. That ship cannot come. I know that they're putting it in people, and they're just totally, totally unaware. Or maybe they don't care. Maybe some people don't care that they can't get high spiritually. And you know what I mean by that, by the meditations. Because that's what's going to give you the self-healing. To be able to meditate in higher states gives you self-healing. So what are they doing socially? They're going to put a chip in you so you can't self-heal, and then you're going to have to depend on doctors and all of these things that are so life-destructive. And then they're going to go back to their plan of making the middle class our slaves and making cancer more fearsome, because there are cures for cancer, and we know that there's cures for cancer, but they're not allowing it in because of the fact that it will stop the money system of the medical association.
Yeah. Well, I believe that there's something inside of us, our essence, our essential selves, spiritual essence, that overrides everything. Well, I believe it's indomitable. That's my own personal controversial point of view on that, Elizabeth. And it's based upon my years of, as I said, studying metaphysics and meditating and just, you know, feeling really firm in my belief system about that, about who we are essentially, why we're here, and the fact that the body heals you if you get it in the right environment.
But Veronica, I'm trying to tell you that with the chip, that will be gone. The chip prevents it. I know that's true.
Okay.
And we were warned about it. And I know my grandmother used to say, the Christians will have to take to the hills. You can't let the chip come because you are trading your heart. She used to say, you're trading your heart for Satan. But what she really meant was, you're trading your heart for materialism. Because you will not be able to go to high states. You will not be able to meditate. You will not be able to inwardly talk with God.
Well, so what do you think is the essence of people, given what you just said? I mean, are we spiritual beings with a body, or...
No. Yes, we are spiritual beings with the body. We definitely are.
Okay. So what is the essence of that body? What is it capable of? What, you know, do you believe in death?
I believe in transition.
Okay. Well, so what is this thing that's transitioning? What is
the spiritual essence of us? We have two bodies. We have our spiritual body, which is called our universal body, and we have our physical body. And the spiritual body is the one that goes on after death. Every person loses 3.5 pounds after they die at the point of death. Even animals do. And okay. Scientists believe that that's the spiritual essence of the body. Now, that spiritual essence, we will never be able to recreate. We're not going to be able to go into a factory and recreate life. We can't do it. We can do this, all of this wonderful technology stuff, but it's not life. Life is given from the divine. And
okay,
nobody...
So does that mean you don't believe in reincarnation, or that you do?
No, of course I do. Of course I do. That wouldn't mean anything about reincarnation. It's very important. I know that when you die, you choose a portal. There are 3 or 4 portals that are offered to you at death. I've done extensive work on this, Veronica. And usually most people take the first portal, and if they do, that will lead you back to your loved ones that have passed, and going to a learning pod, going through life review and being reincarnated. We have to be reincarnated in order to lift the soul up to higher levels. The reason for reincarnation is to try to make amends for your karma and to love and to serve, and to grow closer to the love essence of the divine.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Why we're here on the planet. We're not here to steal. We're not here to beg. We're not here to have high technology. We're not here to, you know, to have all of the values that seem to be present that are killing the most essential value. And the most essential value is spiritual growth. And a lot of times when you talk about spiritual growth, people will poo-poo it and put it down, and I don't believe in that, and walk away. But there's many, many now who are being awakened. And you are awakened by events that happen in your life. You go through turmoil, you go through experiencing, and you learn. And it takes I think that every person has a spiritual crisis in their life, and I think that they have it more than once. And I also think that that's where you're supposed to start reaching out for the higher levels.
Oh, okay.
So, how is this going to help social evolution?
Well, I mean, it's not going to. From that point of reference that you just described, it sounds like we're hogtied, in essence.
It sounds like what?
We're hogtied. In other words,
we're not hogtied. We're not. We need to recreate.
But where is the power? Are we recreating the physical stuff, or doesn't the spiritual engagement?
The power is within. As you grow, the power is within. Okay, let me try it differently. Let's say that there's somebody here that's lost their job, and they have a choice. They can either regenerate themselves and find a new job, or they can get weak and say, I've lost my job, I'll never get hired, and go into that kind of a depression. But we have choices. And believe me, you can recreate with this energy that's here. You can open a door and find a new job that's probably even better than the one you were doing before. Everything takes time. People want it to be McDonald's. They want it to be now. There's always a reason for losing a job, and you can know that you're moving into a higher dimension if you can think that way, and that you're going to find something better. And if you put your mind to it, you certainly can. But people don't do that.
Yeah, it's true.
So we have to be retrained and retaught. And there are teachers coming forth that are doing this teaching. And the technology of the soul and the global movement towards the fifth dimension is happening, and it's happening everywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. It's not just happening in the United States. It's happening everywhere. And I think we have to get more towards a respect for life, a respect for people, for whoever they are. We have to realize that we are a part of a tapestry, and that our lives are important, and that other people's lives are important. We need to respect the fact that other people are living and breathing, and they have their missions in life, like we have our mission in life, and we have got to stop interfering and making them wrong. And that's the step towards living in harmony.
Well, but do you believe that people create their own circumstances in their lives?
For the most part. For the most part, I do.
Okay.
I know that's hard for people to see. Let's say I believe that people can change the circumstances in their life, that nothing is written in stone, so that if you go through something, you can overcome it. I've been through a lot, and I've overcome an awful lot. I've overcome tuberculosis. I've overcome cervical cancer. I've overcome having 9 pregnancies and only having 2 births. I've overcome the death of a soulmate. I've overcome losing a job and creating a new one. And
Do you ever wonder what caused all those things, though?
Of course, I know what's caused a lot of them. It doesn't. The cause of them can be karmic, and the cause of them can be something I did or some kind of harmony being disturbed. The important thing is that once you have an event happen, what are you going to do now? Okay, that happened. Now what? Mm-hmm. Now what? Are you going to sink into self-pity? Or are you going to move ahead in a different direction, realizing that you're a spiritual being, that we have unlimited realities, and that you certainly can move ahead in a new direction? Always.
That's wonderful, isn't it?
It is wonderful, and I have story after story of how it happens. And you know how it usually happens, Veronica? It usually happens at the hand of somebody else that wants to help.
Somebody comes in,
because there are people that reach out to other people, and it usually happens at the hand of somebody else that's helping every single time. We're not in this alone. We're in this together. And with that, I have to say that we have to take a break. It's time for our break, and then we will be back right after this.
Okay.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. I wanted to give you an awareness about my fall calendar because we have some wonderful opportunities for education and learning coming up. First of all is my first real spiritual chakras workshop. This is an introduction class as well as an experiential class. The weekend is October 8th and 9th, 2016, in Newtown, Pennsylvania. I am working at Solutions with Honey, and we are going to have a class. The Saturday class, October 8th, introduces you to the new spiritual chakras one by one. And the Sunday class, October 9th, is the meditation class. Through deep meditation, you will begin the journey and open your first spiritual chakra, the eighth chakra. This is very exciting, very thrilling, and very, very new. So we will all be working on them together. And it promises to be a heartwarming, growing, and wonderful spiritual experience. I will also be giving readings and lecturing at the Psychic Fair on the weekend of October 22nd and 23rd at the Firehouse in New Hope, Pennsylvania. The next date that I have booked is Saturday and Sunday, November 5th and 6th. This is my twice-a-year fall psychic fair, and it's always done for charity. This is where we have the community come together. We have psychics from the New Jersey and Pennsylvania area. We have wonderful vendors, and we also have body workers, people that are working on your energy to help you feel terrific. You can create your own spa day with body work, having a reading, and hearing a lecture at your own convenience. Bring a friend. It's fun. We will have lectures every hour, and this particular fair benefits the Bucks County Veterans Services on the 5th and the Breathing Room Foundation on the 6th. The Breathing Room Foundation is an organization helping to support families that have children with cancer. It's a wonderful, wonderful charity. So if you're listening and you'd like to have information, the number is 215-996-0646. For further information, you can go to the website new-visions.com and go under calendar of events. Everything is listed there for you. Thank you for listening to Let's Find Out. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And now it's time for your weekly cosmic tip. This is my weekly stargazing report.
Week of October 3rd through October 9th, 2016. Masculine Mars entered Builder Capricorn back on September 27th and continues to move through that sign until November 8th. This constructive energy helps you to accomplish pretty much anything you are willing to work for, as long as you know that Capricorn results and rewards come over the long term. The energy is high this first week in October. The moon moves into Scorpio Sunday afternoon and continues on to begin the work week and Rosh Hashanah. Combine this deep emotional energy with numerous pleasantary planetary aspects to begin the week, and you are happy to quietly focus on projects that require your complete attention. There are a couple of red flag warnings that things could get out of control midweek. However, there's also a reduced tolerance for fools, so it's best to work on projects alone or with people who live in their clear center. Wednesday, October 5th, the planet of push, Mars, moves into a square with the planet of anything is possible, Jupiter. This is a mixed bag with a happy moon entering enthusiastic Sagittarius. Teach people to be responsible for their behavior, but be diplomatic in how you communicate that concept of their responsibility. After all, you don't want to bring up their childhood authority figure issues and then they're going to take it out on you. This energy is one to watch because it can lead to overextending your resources or promising more than you can deliver. Avoid trying to force things to happen and avoid trying to make something possible that you really know you can't quite do yet. And avoid excess, be it in spending, eating, or speaking too many words. Say what needs to be said and then move on. At the very least, get out to a park, work in the yard, or hug a tree midweek. Be sure to play on Thursday because it counterbalances the minor challenges that you're going to have on Wednesday. Friday brings serious tone from the moon in Capricorn for the entire weekend. Friday is a mixed harmony and challenge just to keep you from getting bored. The sun makes a challenging square to Pluto during the middle of the day. Avoid pushy and controlling people now and carve out some time for yourself. Pluto also brings the use of force to the table when it squares the sun on Friday. But help is on the way as Mercury weighs in with a counterpoint that can balance out any overinflated egos as it moves into Libra. The happy contradiction to Pluto's intensity of emotions is communications planet Mercury moving into Libra for 3 weeks. Libra's fair and rational approach to any conflict combined with Mercury's ability for effective communication makes the next few weeks the perfect time to smoke and offer the peace pipe. Pass it around. Initiate those important relationship conversations, but not on Friday. Create something in the next 3 weeks to add beauty to your life, as well as healing misunderstandings with your loved ones. Blend fun and practical matters as you move your day through Saturday. Accomplish something that you can point to with pride over the next several days. Sunday brings a quiet void of course moon. This energy does not favor important new actions or purchases. So meditate or do humble tasks like cooking or the laundry on Sunday. Maybe you could read a book.
Or just get quiet, meditate, and do some inner reflection. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And now, let's get back to tonight's program.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. Now I want to tell you about next week's guest. Next week, October 9th, I have the pleasure of having with me Reverend Mary Lynn Clark, author of My Life's Experiences in the Proof of Psychic Phenomena. Throughout her life, Reverend Clark has been a witness to many experiences that validate the continuity of life after death. And you can read about her witnessing firsthand the psychic phenomena of spiritual trance, healings, UFOs, apportations, spirit photography, and much, much more. So join us as you hear about her amazing life experiences as a healer, teacher, psychic, artist, and clairvoyant medium. I'm really excited to have this dear lady present with us on Let's Find Out. So make sure you tune in next week, October 9th, to hear Mary Lynn Clark and her wonderful information. Now, let's get back to Let's Find Out.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on BBSRadio.com. Station 2. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. It's Let's Find Out, and honored guests come every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-429-5471. Again, that's 888-429-5471 in the U.S. and Canada. If you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety tomorrow, you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with host Elizabeth Joyce.
Something's gotta give, something's gotta give, something's gotta give. When an irresistible force such as you needs an old
deck like me. You can bet as sure as you live, something's gotta give, something's gotta give, something's gotta give. When an irrepressible smile such as yours warms an old implacable heart such as mine, don't say no because I insist. Somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna be kissed. So on guard, who knows what the fates have in store.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and we just listened to Something's Gotta Give. And I think something has to give in this country, because we are getting to the point of being very, very much out of balance. And the only thing that that's going to bring is confusion, chaos, crime, and worse. Don't you agree, Veronica?
Well, I believe that we need to keep our eyes on the prize, the ultimate goal, and that this adjusting process that looks like, a lot of upheaval, violence, death, et cetera, is part of the process. But it's temporary, because I believe that the irresistible force is us getting back to an awareness of our divinity, our spiritual essence, and that being all about love.
And I know I talked to you about destruction before reconstruction, and I think the sad part is the destruction that we're going to have to go through to get there. By the way, I wanted people to know your website and about your radio show. Could we talk a little bit about that?
Yes, the program is called The Week Starts Here, and it airs on Pacifica Radio, KPFA, Kevin Paul Francis Albert. And the web address for that is www.kpfa.org. And all of the programs are archived forever. And the program airs 7:30 Pacific time on Sunday nights. And you can visit my Facebook page for the program. It's called on Facebook, it's called The Week Starts Here. And you may email me if you want to say something about this program or continue the conversation. It's Veronica at KPFA, Kevin Paul Francis Albert, .org. Regular spelling of Veronica.
Good. So that's great. And in closing, what would you like to say about this evolution that we're going through? I think it's going to be from about 3 to 7 years. But I do think that when we get to 2030, things will be a lot better than they are now. What would you like to leave the people with?
Well, I believe it's going to happen sooner than that. I feel like we're peaking out right now. And that at certain point in the not-too-distant future, people are going to realize that they have more power than previously thought, and they're going to, like, put the brakes on and shift gears and get things going in a new direction.
Well, that's great, because I know I said to you off air, why aren't the people acting up and not tolerating this instead of just bowing their heads and, you know, the same old, same old? They just want to keep their status quo. As long as they have their status quo, not much is going to happen. But when that starts to change, then I think we're going to have a coming
together.
You know,
they're going to be upended financially pretty soon. I would say within 6 months there's going to be something dramatic, and that's going to shake them up and wake them up. Like what
I think it's
going
to be before Christmas. I'll be very surprised if they get past Christmas, Veronica.
And of course, this is October, so we still have the October surprise to check out. So we'll see.
Yeah. That has to do with the election.
It's all going to be good. It's all going to be good. It's all tied in together.
Yep. So we have to join hands and hearts, and we have to help each other and work in harmony. And we will. I know it will come. And more people are doing it. And there are some nice communities already that have started gathering together and living in their space, in their area, with love, peace, and harmony. So let's see if we can spread that out further.
We will be definitely doing that. And Elizabeth, thank you so much for extending the invitation for me to come and be with you on your program. Pleasure. Let's Find Out. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Veronica, and I'm sure that we'll have you back.
Okay. Thank you so much. Have an outstanding week, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
And this is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and we're going to have a guest next week who's going to talk to us about the spirits on the other side that we can communicate with. And that should be lovely. Mary Lynn Clark is her name, and I'm looking forward to that and hearing about her information and her new book. And now we're going to go into the meditation, Stopping Karma by Raising Your Consciousness and Inner Vibration. Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. Good night.
This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. Tonight, we're going to do a meditation called Raising Your Consciousness and Inner Vibration. So sit with both feet flat on the floor. Close your eyes. Take some deep breaths. And begin to relax your body. You are preparing to rise your inner vibration to ascend to a higher level of consciousness. You can assume the lotus position or lie down with both legs straight and uncrossed, or if you are sitting in a chair, have both feet flat on the floor. Close your eyes and begin to relax your emotional body. Inhale slowly and deeply. Hold the breath, count to four. Exhale slowly and deeply, count to four. Inhale again, holding the breath, count to four. Exhale, count to four. Inhale one more time, count to four. Exhale, count to four. Now return to your regular breathing. In your mind's eye, recall your earliest memory. Take your time and follow this event. Examine it. Allow the remembering to fill you. Simply witness it like you're watching a movie. Do not mentally comment, compare, or judge the memory. Just allow it. Now, begin to remember some other events in your life as they come up from within you. Take your time. Watch each event as detached as possible. As if you were in the front row of a movie theater watching the main feature. Without any emotion, witness the memories. As you watch your life unfold, you may become sentimental about what you are seeing, about the people, places, things, or activities you are recalling. Inwardly say this affirmation: I am free of these events and am ready to accept the next moment. I am free.